Blog Talk Radio.
Had sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru, but there's no place like London.
No, there's no place like London.
Mr. Todd?
You are young, life has been kind to you. You will.
And the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit a privileged few, making mock of the vermin of the lower zoo, turning beauty into filth and greed. I too have sailed the world and seen its wonders. dangerous as Peru. But there's no place like London.
All right, Mr. Todd.
I beg your indulgence, Anthony. My mind is far from easy. In these once familiar streets, I feel shadows everywhere.
There was a barber and his wife. And she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife. She was his reason and his life. And she was beautiful. And she was virtuous. And he was naive. Another man who saw that she was beautiful, a pious vulture of the law, who with a gesture of his claw removed the barber from his plate. Then there was nothing but to wait, and she would fall, so soft, so young, so lost now, so beautiful.
Did she succumb?
Oh, that was many years ago. I doubt if anyone would know.
I'd like to thank you, Anthony. If you hadn't spotted me, I'd be lost on the ocean still.
Will I see you again?
You might find me if you like. Around Fleet Street, I wouldn't wonder.
Until then, my friend.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit that's filled with people who are filled with shit and the vermin of the world in her.
Had sailed the world, beheld its wonders, from the Dardanelles to the mountains of Peru. But there's no place like London.
No, there's no place like London.
Mr. Todd?
You are young, life has been kind to you. You will
great black pit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it, and its morals aren't worth what a pig could spit, and it goes by the name of London. At the top of the hole sit a privileged few, making mock of the vermin of the lower zoo, turning beauty into filth and greed. I too have sailed the world and seen its wonders. For the cruelty of men is as wondrous as Peru, but there's no place like London.
All right, Mr. Todd.
I beg your indulgence, Anthony. My mind is far from easy. In these once familiar streets, I feel shadows everywhere.
There was a barber and his wife, and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason and his life, and she was beautiful. And she was virtuous, and he was naive. Another man who saw that she was beautiful, a pious vulture of the law, who with a gesture of his claw removed the barber from his plate. Then there was nothing but to wait, and she would fall, so soft, so young, so lost now, so beautiful.
Did she succumb?
Oh, that was many years ago. I doubt if anyone would know.
I'd like to thank you, Anthony. If you hadn't spotted me, I'd be lost on the ocean still.
Can I see you again?
You might find me if you like. Around Fleet Street, I wouldn't wonder.
Until then, my friend.
There's a hole in the world like a great black pit that's filled with people who are filled with shit and the vermin of the world inhabited.
Hello and welcome to Storyboards with Esther Combe, a musical march, Sweeney Todd, brought to you by a team of voices. A team of voices is a group located on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And as always, I'd like to say thank you to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page. so we can geek out live. Also, a special thanks to AP Taylor for sponsoring the Blog Talk page. We have shows every night of the week, different themes, and different hosts. We have everything from poetry, game shows, chats, and more. So we probably have something that you like. Free to join All Poetry, so just go ahead and knock on a team of voices door. Deborah Lee will let you in, and you could follow along on the chat. You could read the poems that we are dropping. You can add your own. And that's about all. Here on Storyboards, we focus on stories and characters within those stories. As you can tell, we had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I played it through because I didn't want to cut it off mid. I thought that was more awkward. We were supposed to listen to the worst pies in London, and instead we listened to the same song twice, obviously. There's a little bit of an upload problem, but I will get you the worst pies in London. Don't you worry. Do have some information about the music, of course, because here on A Musical March, I am giving a lot of info for the songs so we can educate you properly. And before I do that, I do want to let on my unofficial right hand, official right hand there. How are you, Rack and Tour?
I'm feeling good. I'm alive.
Good. Right. I mean, that's
crappy, but I'm all right.
See, I know it snowed this morning, and I wasn't too happy about that. I was like, snow's supposed to be over now. So, yeah. Did you get a little bit of a deja vu when I was playing my opening song?
A little bit.
Were you like, I think we just listened to this song? There was two things I could have done at that moment. I could have clipped it halfway and then had a scrambled intro, or just went with it. I just went with it. I must have uploaded the same one twice, but I put the right name, No Pies in London. I mean, Worst Pies in London, but I don't know. It didn't go through. Anyway, tonight we are celebrating Sweeney Todd, which I'm very excited about. Excited is the word of the night. Once I say it once, I feel like I say it all the time. So beware of that. I'm sorry?
I said, that's good. I need a trim.
Okay. Well, I did get that, by the way. I just wanted to make sure you knew. One time I said excited so many times, and I kept saying, I'm so excited that Stephen put on the board a thesaurus, or some synonyms, rather, of the word excited, because he thinks he's funny. So I think he's funny, too. It's fine. All right, so Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street. And it is often referred to as simply Sweeney Todd. It is a 1979 musical with music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. And I Sondheim, and I will be speaking about him in a few. And book by Hugh Wheeler. And I've never read the book, and now I'm going to put that on my list. I'm actually going to put it on my priority list once I'm done reading what I'm reading now, which is a very long book, actually. So once I'm done with that, I think I'm going to go and I'm going to read this because I never have. It was based on a 1970 play, Sweeney Todd, by Christopher Bond. And the character of Sweeney Todd first appeared in a Victorian penny dreadful titled The String of Pearls. So now I'm going to have to figure out what that is. we're going to be I'm gonna have a lot of reading to do. This is I bet you can't even get this anymore. Cheap popular serial literature produced during the 19th century in the United Kingdom.
Penny.
So with penny horrible, penny awful, the penny blood, the term typically referred to a story published in weekly parts of eight. So yeah. And then title The String of Pearls. And it was published as a penny dreadful serial from 1846 to 1847. The main antagonist of the story is Sweeney Todd, the demon of Barbara Fleet Street. The story was the character's first literary appearance. I have to go look this up now and see if I can get my hands on something. Sweeney Todd opened on Broadway in 1979, in the West End in 1980. It won Tony Awards for Best Musical and Oliver Award for the Best New Musical. It has been revived in many productions and inspired a film adaptation. The original logo for the musical is the modified version of an advertising image from the 19th century, with the sign replaced by a straight razor that is also a woman wearing a bloodstained dress and holding a rolling pin next to the man. The character Sweeney Todd originated in a serialized Victorian popular fiction, which is what we just talked about, Penny Dreadful, a story called String of Pearls. And, I mean, I already read that part, so we're good there. And let's see. I am going to go on about, oh, not the Penny Dreadful, though I am really curious about that. So I'm going to go on Stephen Stoneham. I don't know why. I just can't pronounce anything. Stephen Sondheim. Sondheim. Yeah, I think it's Sondheim. Stephen Sondheim. You're right. Stephen Sondheim. I'm going with that. I think it's right. And that was he was born March 1930. He was an American composer and lyricist, regarded as one of the most important figures of the 20th century musical theater. He is credited with reinventing the American musical with his frequent collaborations with Harold Prince and James Lupine. His Broadway musicals tackled unexpected themes that ranged beyond the genre's traditional subjects while addressing darker elements of human experience. His musical lyrics were tinged with complexity, sophistication, and various aspects of life. So I don't, you know, for all my, I know a lot about, like, film scorists, I don't think I know a lot about this guy. And I feel like I'm going to have to delve into the world of him, because I actually really love, I mean, I love musicals, but his lyrics especially, they're just really good. Like, they're very, they are very complex. So, yeah. He began his career by writing the lyrics for West Side Story, Gypsy. He transitioned to writing both music and lyrics for theater, with his best-known works including A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Company, The Night Music, of course, Sweeney Todd, Merrily We Roll Along, and Sunday in the Park with George, Into the Woods, Which I can't even go to the woods with my goddaughter without her singing Into the Woods, blah, 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 and Passion. So there's just a little bit about, well, let's talk about his nominations and awards. He included 8 Tony Awards, an Academy Award, 8 Grammy Awards, an Oliver Award, and the Pulitzer Prize. He also was awarded the Kennedy Center Honor in 1993 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2015. A theater is named after him, both in Broadway and the West End of London. Film adaptions of his work include West Side Story, Gypsy, Funny Thing That Happened on the Way to the Forum, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Into the Woods, and the West Side Story. So, it's a little bit about him. And, of course, I will get into a little bit more about the music and some of the film later in the evening. Now, have you seen this version of Sweeney Todd?
I think I've seen A Funny Thing Happen on the Way to the Farm. I saw the TV adaptation with Johnny Depp.
I didn't know you kind of cut off like mid sentence, so I was a little. My mind
went to, I want the recipe for meat pies, but no.
No, not really.
Not really.
You definitely do not want those recipes. So yes, this starred Johnny Depp, Helen Bonham Carter, and Alan Rickman, along with other people. I'm stopping at Alan Rickman. Alan Rickman is one of the only people. You're going to have to look him up yourself because that's where I'm stopping. And yeah, I very much enjoyed it. And unlike the crybaby, pretty sure Johnny Depp actually sang his
part.
Actually sang his I don't want that button. I'm pressing the wrong button. Actually sang, unlike the which we talked about earlier this month, crybaby, where he didn't sing, and I went my whole life not knowing that until recently. So, and of course, the film was directed by Tim Burton. I'm sure everybody could figure that out. And, yeah. Any words you want to say about the film?
Where you find Johnny Depp and Helen Bonham Carter, you find Tim Burton.
I know. Yeah. And it's always really good. You know, even after they got divorced, I think they still work together. So, I mean, that's good. Not Johnny Depp and Tim Burton got divorced. Tim Burton and Helen Bonham Carter got divorced. Which is too funny. All right, my computer theme is super, super slow. So we're going to have to be patient with that. I have too many tabs open, I think. It's just tab central here. So Sweet Pea did give me a voice message. I tried to get it to, like, record it while I was listening to it, but it didn't really work out too well. So I'm just going to have to read her. I hope that's okay, Sweet Pea. She's bowling right now. So that's what that is. So we'll get there. I think we're going to open up with her, actually.
Bowling pins are different than bowling.
What's a what?
Bowling pins are different than rolling pins.
Oh. Okay. She's got to get on the SoundCloud train. Okay, so here we go. Oh, AP's here. I didn't see you, AP, because my computer is going terribly slow switching tabs. Give me 1 second. You can actually put your poem up. That'll be good. We'll do your poem first. I'm waiting for the studio to work. Okay, here we go. Still not working. Yay! Oh, hey, AP!
Hey! Well, lucky I can come in because
my computer is a little mad right now. There's too much stuff happening on it. It's like, go, slow down. What are you doing?
It's all good. All good. I'm well. There is a very famous quote from Sweeney Todd.
website, and that quote is, "These are desperate times, Mrs. Lovett, and desperate measures are called for."
Yeah. And is that what you wrote to?
It is. It is.
Oh, I'm excited.
And it is aligned to a press story from Buffalo that came out today. You ready?
I am ready.
This is called Albert. And it goes a little bit like this. Once, there was a pet named Albert. He was largely trained in the house. Place was clean, the pool with a little dirt, and he was fastidious when let out. He stayed mostly in the lounge room, but was known to swim also when hot, and he would regularly his skin groomed, taking care of each nook and knot. He was a large critter at 340 pounds and stretched to well over 11 feet. The police said he should be found as an alligator and houses don't meet. His owner is challenging the capture and intends to see his pet returned. His argument is discrimination by fur when to leather he since returned. Bison have leather and coarse hair, been known to trump many as blight. No doubt strange times into we stare. These alternatives don't bark, but bite.
Excellent, excellent. Now, before I make my comment, because I feel like this is more in depth than what I'm reading here, because this is might be out of my depth. Do you wanna tell me the background on this a little bit?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first is, of course, that this is a true story. There is a pet owner in at the minute that has had his 11-foot alligator grabbed by police. And he is arguing that it was house-trained and that, you know, that this is discrimination. And that was in Buffalo, New York, only in the last day or so. So there is an active court case going on about a pet owner trying to retrieve Albert. I sort of couldn't help myself but note about bison and the something and the fact that... But anyway... It just sort of appealed to me towards the end, a little sort of extra thing.
Yeah, so I got a little bit at the end, and then I thought maybe there was more of an allegory throughout. But then you just tacked it on at the end. So once you got to the end, I'm like, maybe I should read this again with a different lens. But yeah, no, I like that. I like that cleverness. I don't know how you can claim an 11-foot alligator as a house pet. Like, did he keep him in the house? Like, I have questions.
Yes, he did. And it went swimming with his friends in the pool.
And didn't eat him?
Well, apparently not.
I don't... Well, he must have been fed very regularly. I don't know. I don't care what my friend said. If they said there was the nicest alligator in the world, I would not get in a pool with an alligator.
I'm thinking you're right. I wouldn't either. But, I mean, you know, clearly he's crossed this Rubicon before. And, you know, if he still has friends, they're still apparently swimming with the alligator. He may not have.
Oh, my gosh, listen. Yes. So you're going to have to get back to me. You're going to get on the outcome of this court case, okay? So I expect updates.
Yes, it'll be a follow-up time.
This was a brilliant way to take the quote, and I love that you took, like, something actually happening. You kind of filtered that through poetry and this idea of a court case and just the craziness of it, like 340 pounds, 11 feet. It was informative, but it was still poetry. Like, it still read smooth, and it wasn't like I was reading a news report, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I brought to light a story I had no idea about it. And the end, very, very clever, very subtle and classy way of kind of putting your opinion on things. And I'm still thinking about these people swimming in the pool with alligator, and I don't know. Some people, I don't know what choices they've made. Excellent piece. I was not expecting this. There would definitely be meat pies. I would be worried about meat pies, definitely, if I was swimming around in an alligator pool.
Yes, agreed.
Rackentor couldn't stop laughing after you read, so I know he liked it. What do you think, Rackentor?
I mean, my head was swimming with a whole bunch of possibilities. I didn't know that there was a guy in Buffalo. I heard someone in New York, but I don't think it was Buffalo, New York. It might have been in Brooklyn, and there was no court case. You know, they just stole it. They just took the gator from him. He was trying to raise it in his bathtub, and it might have gotten, you know, 6 or 7 feet. I don't know that it reached 11, but and then, you know, that led to the whole, you know, in my mind, the legends of the alligators in the sewer. Someone had a pet alligator. He got too big, so they let him loose in the sewer. So, you know, you picked up on the buffaloes and the bark versus the bite thing. That was just great. I mean, especially for what you did with the whole poem overall. It was just phenomenal. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, Rick. Pleasure.
Excellent. I got to tell you, I wasn't thinking alligators in this. If we were going to go there, so I'm excited.
There you go. I mean, you never know, do you? Really? I mean, I just, you know, look at something.
That's
and
what I love
just
about the quotes. Yeah. That's what I love about the quotes. So don't forget to keep me informed. Excellent piece. Do you want to talk about Saturday?
I should, yes. We've got the open poetry show on Saturday, and that'll have Deb and Hatter and myself, and it's just open poetry. Throw your poem in there, and it can be about alligators. It can be about, you know, what it's like, really. Bison, you name it. I'm going to talk to you about it.
I don't think I have any alligator or bison poems, but I'm sure I have something.
Somebody does. that's right. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've got plenty of open poetry poems, like everybody has, and we do our best and get through them, always.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, AP. I know you're usually a reader and a runner. I hope you're not working too hard today.
I'm hoping not either. I'm going to be quieter, I hope, but we'll just see how the afternoon goes.
Okay. Well, have a good
Thanks
night.
Again.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Pleasure. Thank you, Scott. Thanks, Rack. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to try this again.
Oh sweet.
5:32. No pies. I don't think this is right. Hold on. Nope, I definitely downloaded something wrong.
That sounded like music.
Yeah, it was music, but it's no place like London. I could tell just by the first couple seconds. I must have downloaded it wrong. Like, I must have downloaded something and then named it twice. I don't know what I did. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to skip that song. I hate to do something out of order, but I'm not skipping it altogether because it's one of my favorites. So what I'm going to do is I am going to go forward and play the other songs and then figure out why I downloaded it wrong and try to download it right. And then we'll do Sweet Poem. So let me get back down. How about that alligator, huh? I don't know.
I can't imagine it making it to a court case. I mean, I know people are stupid enough to be like, you know, yeah, I could raise them in my bathtub, but not, you know, actually think that they're going to get away with, like, you know, no, I have rights. It's a house
pet. People are very entitled, so I don't know. All right, so I'm going to go ahead.
Here we go.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there are a lot of instances of people trying to keep stupid things as pets, you know, tigers and whatnot and crazy things that they think, you know, it's a house cat. Yeah, no. But anyways.
Lions and tigers and bear. Oh, my. All right, I'm going to press play, and I'm going to try to figure out what I did here. All right, here we go.
You got room over this shop, haven't you? Times are so hard once you rent it out.
People think it's haunted.
Haunted?
Yes. And they say they're wrong. They say years ago, something happened up there. Something not very nice. There was a barber and his wife, and he was beautiful, a proper artist with a knife. But they transported him for life, and he was beautiful. Barker's name was Benjamin Barker.
What was his crime?
Foolishness. He had this wife, you see, pretty little thing, silly little knit, had a chance for the moon on a string. Poor thing, poor thing. There was this judge, you see, wanted her like mad. Every day sent her a flower, but did she come down from her tower? Sat up there and thought by the hour. Oh, but there was work yet to come, poor thing. The beadle calls on her all polite, poor thing, poor thing. The judge, he tells her he's all contrite. He blames himself for her dreadful plight. She must come straight to his house tonight, poor thing. When she goes there, poor thing, poor thing, they're having this ball all in mass. There's no one she knows there, poor dear, poor thing. She wanders tormented and drinks, poor thing. The judge has repented, she thinks, poor thing. Oh, where is Judge Turpin, she asks. He was there all right, and they're not so contrite. Was a no match for such craft, you see, and everyone thought it so drunk. They figured she had to be soft, you see, so all of them stood there and laughed, you see. Poor soul, poor thing.
No! Would no one have mercy on her?
So is you, Benjamin.
No, not Barker. That man is dead. It's Todd now. Sweeney Todd. And he will have his revenge.
Waiting. Oh, man.
Awesome. And I do have the worst pies in London. We're going to save it just for a little bit. but I did get it. I'm not really sure what happened to my when I was uploading it the first time, but we've got it all settled, and we'll be doing that very soon. I do love your song, Joanna. It's probably one of my faves, and I'm multitasking, as you can tell. All right, let's talk about, before we get to Sweet Tea Pea's poem, Hugh Wheeler. I didn't talk about Hugh Wheeler yet, right? I got a little discombobulated.
Nope.
Okay. I didn't talk about him, right?
Nope.
No. Okay, great. Let's see. Hugh Wheeler, born 1912, passed away in 1987, was a British novelist, screenwriter, and poet and translator. He resided in the United States from 1934 until his death and became a naturalized citizen in 1942. He had attended London University, and he's the one who wrote the book. So I'm really, I just want to read it now. He was the author or co-author of many mystery novels and short stories. The Ordeal of Mrs. Snow was given a special Edgar Award by the Mystery Writers of America. And anybody who doesn't know what the Edgar Award is, the Edgar Allan Poe Awards, primarily called Edgars, are presented every year by the Mystery Writers of America, based in New York City, named after American writer Edgar Allan Poe. So there you go. And yeah.
Nothing alien,
so,
and in black.
No. So you've seen Men in Black, I'm assuming, yes?
That's how I know about Edgar, yes.
Did you, Edgar, did you put a little sugar in this tea? I don't know why. My sister loved that part. I don't really know why. She really, and that's why it's engraved in my memory, not because I've seen the movie so many times. But I have seen it a few times, but it was like a staple in my younger years. But my sister loved to mimic that part of the film.
Those things touch your life. You haven't forget them. I'm telling you, once you see it on TV, it's like that happened in real life. It was in my house. That was my house. I grew up with that.
Oh, my
God.
Good Lord. Now I'm going to have to go watch that scene just on YouTube later just to watch that screen. And then I'm going to send it to my sister. She lives out in New York, actually, and I don't see her much, so I'm going to have to do that. All right, the Valley of Death, and I've read this before. My comment was just wonderful. I basically just copied-pasted whatever stanzas. I said, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. What else can I say? That was it. Terrible comment. Let's see if I can come up with something a little bit different. Okay, Valley of Death by Sweet Pea. Before the after and after the now, there is a space that exists hovering above our shoulder and the shadows we catch. Phantoms caught in the corners of eyes, the essence of darkness that chills to the bone when we sit alone. The Valley of Death will be calling you home. Dead men wander faceless, walking on cobbles and stone, blinded in the blackness, their screams silent and sound, headed not the warnings of the imps tied and bound. Terrain rough and rocky, choreographed mountains of skulls guarded the land. Vacant eye sockets flared and flames of the sun, flared the flames of the sun, charring the skies of fathers and sons, dying veins oozing their last drops of blood and colors of onyx, polluting the rivers that flowed with rotted flesh and crushed bone. Noon walks through the valley, in the state of alone, cry not the fire of injustice and rage. Do not run, walk slowly, and I shall see you there, when on earth we are alone. End poem. And excellent. What is below stays below, that is the law. I was just reading her author's notes. I thought this was excellent. And I read it before, I think just for like a Monday prompt picture, and then she kind of infused it. It also is a gold winning award for Into the Darkness. I loved it. I loved the cadence. The phantom is caught in the corners of the eyes. I love that. It was definitely chilling when you talk about the Valley of Death. It made me think of being left out in the desert somewhere. And just kind of, except you put cobbles and stones, so like a desert maybe with like actual buildings and just, I mean, I don't even know, like just a vortex of just horribleness. I mean, you have blinded in the darkness and a scream silent in sound. So now I'm picturing like someone screaming but you can't hear anything. Those are like the most terrible nightmares when you're yelling and like nothing's coming out. And so this is just, it is a great time for you to call in, Deb. Hopefully she's listening. Maybe I can just, maybe she's texting, maybe she's writing me. Okay, here we go. Let me just do this. So yes, this is quite brilliant. And no wonder, sometimes when I say this is brilliant in a comment, that's actually the best comment you're going to get, because it's just like, this is absolutely brilliant. And then when she got down to the noon, when the dying veins ooze their last drops of blood and colors of onyx, polluting the rivers that flowed, it kind of brought me to like a more like, I don't know, like I guess Deb would say her soapbox, right? Of this idea of this thing rotting and polluting everything. This was excellent, and I did enjoy the audio. I tried to record it on my phone while I was listening to it, and the quality didn't come through. So I'm sorry about that, sweet. I do appreciate it, and I enjoyed listening to it in your own voice earlier when I listened to it, when you sent it to me. So I do appreciate that. And Raconteur, what do you think?
Oh, man. She's got a style, and now you got me thinking about the Edgar Award. The heck with the front page pick. She needs an Edgar Award. She's great with the descriptions and the stories and everything. And this is, you know, this is definitely her wheelhouse, you know, the darkness and everything else. And you know, she doesn't normally rhyme, but this one rhymed. And, you know, I think that's kind of funny, because the last bunch I did haven't been rhyming, and she's been doing rhyming poems. So it's kind of like we switched seats a little bit. But, you know, she's got a way about her when she goes, you know, all murder and mayhem. I love what she does when she, you know, sets the scenes, and she always has a way of doing something like, you know, you're waiting for her to go in one direction, and but you know, she shucks and jives, and you can't pin her down ever, which is kind of amazing. Because, you know, a lot of the times I could tell, you know, where it's going, or even what the next rhyming word's going to be from the cadence, but, you know, not in the way she does things. She's beautifully unpredictable and just has a lovely way of telling a story.
I absolutely agree. I really have a problem speaking. I'm losing all my, it's because I'm writing Phil and I'm agree and then ill. I can't type and talk. It's terrible. I absolutely agree with you. And I like when she goes either way. I like when she rhymes and I like when she doesn't. Yeah. So I don't think I have a preference. So I think she does both quite well. Thank you so much, sweet, for bringing that. We do have another caller on the line. Hello, Deb.
Hello, guy. Hey, Rack.
How's it going?
You here for a shave? You here for a shave?
Yeah, you here for a shave?
Huh?
I'm here for a shave.
Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Are you sure?
I'm sure, dear heart. I'm sure.
And we're offering free pies with it. So you get a shave, you get a free pie.
Why? Uh-huh. Why you wait?
You can have mine.
All right, Deb. You can you read both yours? What do you look like for time?
Yes, I will. I will read them both.
Okay, so but I don't want you to read back to back though. If that's okay, is that okay?
What does that mean exactly? Just one, another poem in between?
No,
yes.
That means like no.
Yeah,
that's not
well,
what that means. It means
I
want you to read one poem, and then I want to comment, and then I want to read your other poem, and then I want to comment. I don't want you to read both and then do a comment for both.
Okay. Yes, I can do that.
Okay. Because I don't because I get confused
no,
and then I and it takes away and I so if you have time. I would like to do it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, no, I just thought you might want to do a clip or something in between, and I don't know if I have enough time for that. But
oh no,
what you just
no, I don't want to do that. Oh
you
yeah,
just said work. Just tell me
okay,
whatever one you want.
Could you do the IOU first?
Okie dokie.
For the Les Miserables.
This is from Victor Hugo's quote. Okay. The quote I chose, excuse me, is even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. And this is a Pantu, and it's called Puppet Monsters March in the Confiscation of Light. Here we go. If shrouds confiscate light from an opal moon as it glows, graying shadows infiltrate green lawns and opaque skies. Then the garden views are skewed as darkness grows, but even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. Graying shadows infiltrate green lawns and opaque skies as breeze puppeteers parade dark creatures on the wall. But even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise, chaperoning sunlight as chickadees eat insects that crawl. As breeze puppeteers parade dark creatures on the wall, dawn signals the songbirds to sing, then a rooster to crow. Chaperoning sunlight as chickadees eat insects that crawl, and a black widow spider spins her web around her bow. Dawn signals the songbirds to sing, then a rooster to crow, an eclipse blocks the sun rays and shrouds float back in, and a black widow spider spins her web around her bow. Fueled by shadow creatures and breezes howling in the din, an eclipse blocks the sun rays, then shrouds float back in, then the garden views are skewed and the darkness grows. Fueled by shadow creatures and breezes howling in the din, if shrouds confiscate light from an opal moon as it glows. And fall.
Excellent. I feel like the way the Pantoum read, and I said this yesterday about Pantoums, that when they read, like each stanza can be the meaning and they kind of change a bit with the interchanging of lines. But this one I felt like was very drastic. Like it was very, like, it wasn't just a subtle change. It was like a whole new meaning when you kind of put the lines together in a different way. I really loved the use of din and bow. I thought that was quite brilliant. I loved how you brought like life in between of like what's happening with the details, with the fine details of the black widow spider and then the rooster and the crow and then even the chickadees eating the insects that crawl like such... You know, saying all through the thing, through the sunrise and through the eclipse, life is kind of going on. And life is happening. And I loved how you brought in the photo, but, I mean, you don't even really need the photo, but the idea of that backdrop, the breeze, the tears parade dark creatures on the wall. And the thing about that kind of symbolism or metaphor, a person could kind of interchange whatever it is, emotion or thing that they're going through, and kind of put it in there and kind of take this as a larger metaphor, which I'm assuming you meant, but you may have not meant it that way. But the idea of how things, you know, do kind of puppeteer on our wall in dark spaces. And all the while, all these things are still happening, and the songbirds are still singing, and the roosters are still crowing, and we're going to fluctuate between the our dark and light moments. And I love that idea. I also really liked, where was it, the graying shadows infiltrate green lawns. Again, to me, that larger metaphor of the green lawns being those better moments. And then, of course, those shadows, those graying shadows coming in and kind of taking over those moments a little bit until they kind of ebb back. Really, really well done. I mean, I could have been completely wrong with the way I took it, but excellent piece. Raconteur, what do you think?
Thank you, Scott.
This is excellent. You know, I get OCD a lot, and every time you said about the rooster crowing, I had to stop myself from crowing. And then when you were talking about the black widow spider's bow, that made me think of the hourglass on her back, because when you turn it to the side, it looks like a bow tie. So, you know, the little things like that just added to the interesting pieces of this piece for me, because, you know, that's just my crazy head tries to, I need to step back and listen to the thing, you know, better, from a wider perspective, because, you know, when I get involved in those little things, my mind, you know, ooh, squirrel. The repetition of the line worked excellent throughout the piece. And, you know, at the pantoon being a pantoon, I guess you're on a pantoon kick. You did a pantoon the other night, right, with the wizard, or that was another IOU. I like the form a lot, and you know, you utilized it well, and the repeating lines were excellent, and you know, this is just a fantastic piece.
Thank you so much. It's one of my favorite forms, and sometimes when you're going in for a story, it helps you do a full circle right easily, because you have to be able to start and end with the same line, you know. So, thank you. And Sky, I apologize. I didn't realize I read the wrong one first.
No, I wanted you to read that one first.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted me to read the IOU first, and I was like, oh crap, I think I did it wrong. But okay, I'm so confused. I'm in agony with my leg here, and my brain's not functioning right.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling and reading two. We'll get you to read the next one, and then I'll comment, and then we can figure that out. This is a really interesting picture.
Yeah,
okay,
I like
I'm ready.
The picture. I was excited to find one to write to for it. I mean, and this is, where's my quote? Sweeney Todd prompt quote, "If I cannot fly, let me sing." And the poem is called "Free Me from the Rock Bottom Blues." They're binding. Here we go. As the rock bottom blues plague me, the planet spins round the axis, revolving. But I stand in the dark corridor, trapped in a padded prison. Rolling. Darkness is a straitjacket, and now my body shakes, rocking. A voice inside my brain whispers, then dangles the key to sunshine, baiting. The bait leaves me like a rabbit chasing the carrot tied to a string, starving. Rage bubbles over in me. This little light of mine recoils. Shrinking. Unlock the straitjacket buckles so I can soar to the light. But if I cannot fly, let me sing. End poem.
my gosh. I love this one. Absolutely love
I like
this one.
Better too.
Yeah, oh no, I didn't say better.
Oh, I like that one.
I love
better. I like this one better.
Really, really, really loved this one. I love the downshift of each word, you know, revolving, drooling, rocking, dating, starving, shrinking. That process of self and darkness and being in that space. I loved how you brought in the straitjacket. I love that you weren't afraid to put in the padded room, to put in drooling, because when you're physically, like literally, if you were locked in a room, padded room, and I understand this is figurative, but let's take a moment on literal. You know, your self-image, your self-worth is nothing at that point. You're locked in a padded room in a straitjacket. I'm sure that you're not thinking about, oh my gosh, I'm drooling, and how does this look? So I love that you didn't shy away from that kind of that more raw kind of image, and that you took it through this, you know, very figurative sense of inner darkness and what it could feel like and how it could feel like imprisonment, and having these voices whispering, dangling, and teasing, and saying, "Okay, well, there may be sunshine. There's going to be sunshine after the rain. You know, there's going to be that old saying." And I loved how you wrote baiting me, because it's kind of like hope. What was it? The Shawshank Redemption, right? Hope is a dangerous thing, and it can be, because it can keep you on this, you know, kind of wheel, this kind of hamster wheel, and kind of reaching and then being kind of smack down, and it is revolving. It kind of feels like sometimes when you feel like you're stuck in this rut and you can't quite get out. So I really love that. I really loved how relatable these emotions are, at least to me. And I love the way that you explained them and how you kind of put that in. And then again, my favorite part was that downshift of each line, just one word ending on that thought. With those images, and I loved how you brought in the quote. The quote was brilliant, the way that you ended it, and the idea of that. And then what it made me think of is, because you say, "I cannot fly, let me sing," but the way that you kind of put it into context, it made me think of poets and think of singing as in words, "Let me speak my truth." So even that had like a different connotation than the original quote might have had in the context of a musical quote. So I thought that was quite brilliant. I know you're on a time constraint, so I'm going to let Raconteur comment. Really enjoyed this one, Deb. Raconteur?
Thanks so much, Guy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anything involving straitjackets and insanity appeals to me. And you know, she talks about relating to the emotions, so, you know, I guess she's there with us. You know, the thing about hope that she mentioned, too, to me, that makes it so angsty, is that a lot of times, you know, the idea of what you're hoping for is attainable. It's like it makes you sit there and go, why not? And when it really drives some people really crazy, it's like it so easily could come to fruition. So why can't I have it? Why does everyone else get it? You know, the whole idea of if I can't fly, let me sing comes through in his, I guess, trying to be, you know, out of that straitjacket so he can, I don't know. I just enjoyed it very much. I really liked your imagery and your wordplay.
Thank you, Raconteur. Great comment. Appreciate you both.
Excellent.
Guy, can you just put my show when you do that?
Yeah, I certainly can. Thank you for
calling. I got to go. Love and respect you guys. Oh, and Sky, did you get my message about the 26th?
No. Well, I did, but it was a no. Oh, right here.
No. No. That was I have to check with Hatter, and Hatter said that they're doing the first one the last Tuesday of April, so you're good.
Oh, I got it. Yep. I see it now. I haven't really been on AP all day today, so I see it. Thank you.
All righty. Love and respect. Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. All right. This is what I'm going to do. Titus dropped. I do not know if we're going to have time. He wrote to Wuthering Heights, which I appreciate, but I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it on the Sound of Music only because that's more of like a love story. And then also, I mean, this is kind of like a tragic love story, but also I just don't think we're going to have, especially if Hatter calls in, I do not think we're going to have an assignment. I'm sure Hatter is planning. He dropped, so I'm sure he's going to show up sometime. All right, here we go. So what I'm going to do is play some more music, and then we'll talk about some music. And where was I? And then we'll plug, and we'll go from there. Oh, see? Hatter, it's like I speak of him, and he shows up. It's just amazing.
Lonely man.
Hi, Hatter.
I was waving my arms. Are they kidding?
I know,
yeah.
You know? I spoke about you, and then you were there. It was like I
know. Amazing.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to play some music, and then I'm going to put your poem down. And then we also have Phil. Where was I? I'm going to have to... figure out where I was. I think, what was the last one I played? Joanna?
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, it was Joanna. Joanna. All right, so we're going to do the Miracle Elixir. I still owe you the worst pies in London, but we are going to still skip that for a moment. I'm going to play you some music, talk about it a little bit, and then drop Hatter's poem and plug shows. So here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? A miracle, marvelous friend. Gentlemen, you are about to see something will roast in the day. On the top of my head was Pirelli's miracle elixir. That's what did the trick, sir. True, sir, true. Was it quick, sir? Did it in a sixer. Just like an elixir, all too soon. How about a bottle, mister? Only costs a penny, guarantee. Does Pirelli stimulate the growth, sir? You can have my oath, sir. Tis unique. Rub 'em in it, stimulating in it. Soon you'll have to thin it once a week.
Pardon me, ma'am, what's that awful thing?
I'll be standing near an open trench.
I'll be standing near an open trench.
By Pirelli's miracle elixir, anything will slick, sir, suits brass curls. Try Pirelli's when they see our fixer. You can have your pick, sir, on the girls. Wanna buy a bowl, miss?
What is this?
What is this?
Smells like this.
Smells like ew.
Looks like this.
Pirelli's, activate your roof, sir.
Keep it off your boots, sir, it's right through.
Yes, go, Pirelli's, use a ball of it. Let's get to love it.
I do too.
Hi, I'm Adolfo Pirelli, the king of the barbers, the barber of kings. Hey, buongiorno, good day. I blow you a kiss. And I, the so famous Pirelli, I wish it to Noah who has the nerve to say my elixir is pissed. Who says this?
I do. I'm Mr. Sweeney Todd of Fleet Street. I have opened a bottle of Pirelli's elixir, and I say to you, that is nothing but an errant fraud concocted from piss and ink. Furthermore, senor, I have serviced no kings. Yet I wager that I can shave a cheek with 10 times more dexterity than any street mountebank.
You hear this foolish man? Now, please, you will see how he will regret the years of folly.
Who's for a free shave? Will Beadle Bamford be the judge?
Glad, as always, to oblige my friends and neighbors. The fastest, smoothest shave is the winner.
Now, signorini, signori, we meet at the lather, but first you gather around, signorini, signori. You look in the man who has had the glory to serve the Pope, Mr. Sweeney. Whoever, I beg your pardon, you'll probably say it was only a cardinal. No, it was the Pope.
To shave the face, to cut the hair, required a grace, required a flair. For if you slip, you nick the skin, you clip the chin, you rip the lip a bit beyond the repair. To shave the face, or even a part, without it a sword, required the heart. Not just the flash, it takes a panache, it takes the passion for the art. To shave the face, to trim the beard, to make the bristles clean like a whistle. This is from early infancy, the talent give to me, my God. It takes the skill, it takes the brains, it takes the will, to take the pains. He take the pace, he take the
The winner is Todd.
All day long he did. Off his leg give out with the gout.
Why doesn't the beadle come? Before the week is out. That's what he said.
Well, he says the week's out. It's only Tuesday.
Easy now. Hush, hush, hush. Don't distress yourself. What's your rush? Keep your thoughts nice and lush. Wait. gilly flowers maybe, instead of daisies. I don't know though, what do you think?
I have news for you, my friend. In order to shield her from the evils of this world, I have decided to marry my dear Joanna.
Oh, sir, happy news indeed.
Strange, though. When I offered myself to her, she showed a certain reluctance.
Excuse me, my lord. May I request my lord permission, my lord, to speak? Forgive me if I suggest, my lord, you're looking less than your best, my lord. There's powder upon your vest, my lord, and summer love on your cheek. And ladies, my lord, are weak.
Stubble, you say? Perhaps I am a little over hasty in the mornings.
Fret not though, my lord, I know a place, my lord, a barber, my lord, of skill. Thus armed with a shaven face, my lord, some eau de cologne to grace, my lord, and must to enhance the chase, my lord, you'll dazzle the girl
until
she bows to your every will.
Barber, take me to him.
At your service. An honor to receive your patronage, Minor.
Do you know me, sir?
Who in this white world does not know the great Judge Turpin? What may I do for you today, then? Stylish trimming of the hair. Soothing skin massage. Sit, sir. Sit.
You see, sir, a man infatuated with love, her ardent and eager slave. So fetch the pomade and palmistone, and lend me a more seductive tone, a sprinkling perhaps of French cologne. But first, sir, I think a shave.
The closest I ever gave.
In a merry mood today, Mr. Todd.
Your delights are catching fire from one man to the next.
'Tis true, sir, love can still inspire the blood to pound the heart leap higher. What more?
What more can man require?
More than love, sir.
More than love, sir.
What, sir?
Women.
Ah, yes, women.
Pretty women.
Something in-
To help me. Mr. Todd, please. Oh. Mr. Todd!
Out!
All this shouting and running about. What's happened?
I had him! His throat was bare beneath my hand. No, I had him! His throat was there and he'll never come again.
Now, hush, love, hush. I keep telling you.
When? Why did I wait? You told me to wait, now you'll never come again. There's a hole in the world like a great black pit, and it's filled with people who are filled with shit, and the vermin of the world inhabit it. But not for long. They all deserve to die. Tell you why, Mrs. Lovett, tell you why. Because in all of the whole human race, Mrs. Lovett, there are two kinds of men and only two. There's the one staying put in his proper place, and the one with his foot in the other one's face. Look at me, Mrs. Lovett, look at you. No, we all deserve to die. Even you, Mrs. Lovett, even I. Because the lives of the wicked should be made brief for the rest of us. Death will be a relief. We all deserve to die. And I'll never see Joanna. No, I'll never hug my girl to me. Finished! All right, you, sir, how about a shave? Come and visit your good friend, Sweeney. You, sir, too, sir, welcome to the grave. I will have vengeance. I will have salvation. Who, sir? You, sir? No one's in the chair. Come on, come on. Sweeney's waiting. I want you, bleeders. You, sir? Anybody? Gentlemen, I don't think shot. Not one man, no, nor 10 men, nor 100 can assuage me. I will have you. And I will get him back, even as he gloats. In the meantime, I'll practice on less honorable throats. And my Lucy lies in ashes, and I'll never see my girl again. But no work. Wait! I'm alive at last, and I'm full of joy!
That's all very well, but what are we going to do about him?
In a moment, Star, we'll take you to Zeus, a place, and bury him.
Could you do that? Don't suppose he's got any relatives going to come poking around looking for him. Seems a downright shame.
Shame.
Seems an awful waste.
such a nice plump frame. What's his name, Hat? 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 Nor he can't be traced. Is his knees a lift? Dead to be a right. Think of it as swift. As a kiss, if you get my drift. Seems an awful wife. I mean, with the price of meat, what it is. When you get it, if you get it.
Ah.
Good, you got it. Hey, for instance, Mrs. Mooney had a pie shop. This is never better, using a little bit of gas and toast. Now a pussy's good for maybe 6 or 7 at the most. And I'm sure they can't compare it for a taste.
Mrs. Lovett, what a charming notion. Eminently practical and yet appropriate as always. Mrs. Lovett, how I've lived without you all these years, I'll never know.
Think
how
about electable. It. Love of all the gentlemen are simply coming for a show. Why they think of all that
time. What's the sound of the world out there?
What, Mr. Todd? What, Mr. Todd? What is that sound?
Those crunching noises pervading the air.
Yes, all around.
It's man devouring man, my dear.
And who are we to deny it in here?
These are desperate times, Mrs. Lovett. Desperate measures are called for.
Here we are. Hot out of the oven.
What is that?
It's priest. Have a little priest.
Is it really good?
But it's too good, at least. Then again, they don't commit sins or the flesh. So it's pretty fresh.
Awful lot of fat.
Only where it's fat.
Haven't you got poet or something like that?
No, you see, the trouble with poet is how do you know it's defeat? Try the priest. Lawyer's rather nice.
If it's for a price.
Order something else though to follow, since no one should swallow it twice.
Anything that's lean?
Well then, if you're British and loyal, you might enjoy Royal Marine. Anywhere it's clean, though of course it tastes of wherever it's been.
Is that squire on the fire?
Mercy no sir, look closer, you'll notice this closer.
Looks thicker, more like vicar.
No, it has to be grosser, it's green.
The history of the world, my love.
There were lots of graves, there were lots of relatives' faces.
Is those below serving those up above?
Everybody shakes, so there should be plenty of flavors.
How gratifying for ones to know that those above will serve those down below.
It's fop, finest in the shop. Oh, we have some shepherd's pie peppered with actual shepherd on top. And as it's begun, is the politician so oily, it's served with a dooley at one.
Put it on a bun, well you never know if it's going to run.
Try the fire, try the fire.
No, the clergy is really too coarse and too merely.
It's compact.
Ah, but always arrives overdone. I'll come again when you have judge on the menu. Have charity towards the world, my pet.
Yes, yes, I know, my love.
We'll take the customers that we can get.
High born and low, my love.
We'll not discriminate great from small. No, we'll serve anyone,
we'll
meaning anyone, and to anyone.
Unmuted.
Oh. Yes, hold.
long time sometimes.
I feel you, Joanna. I feel you. Do they think that walls can hide you? Even now I'm at your window. I am in the dark beside you. There is sleep in your yellow hair, Joanna. And are you beautiful and pale with yellow hair like her? I'd want you beautiful and pale the way I've dreamed you were, Joanna.
Joanna.
And if you're beautiful, what then, with yellow hair like wheat? I think we shall not meet again, my little dove, my sweet Joanna.
Joanna.
Goodbye, Joanna. You're gone and yet you're mine. I'm fine, Joanna.
Joanna.
I'm fine.
Fuck. Fuck. Sign of the devil. Sign of the devil. Stay on fire.
Every day goes by, Joanna. And you'd be beautiful and pale and look too much like her. If only angels could prevail, we'd be the way we were, Joanna. Wake up, Joanna, another bright red day. We learn, Joanna, to say goodbye.
I'll see you.
the gourmets among you will tell you, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't imagine the rapture in store. Just inside of this store, there you'll sample Mrs. Lovett's meat pies, savoury and sweet pies, as you'll see. You who eat pies, Mrs. Lovett's meat pies, conjure up the treat pies used to be.
Been keeping. Call me bones is weary. Toby, one for the gentleman. Here's a birdie cheeping. Else the beast is cheery. Toby, throw the old woman out. What's my secret? Frankly, dear, I'll give my tent a family secret. All to do with us. Things like being careful with your coriander. That's what makes a gravy grander.
Don't try the meat pies. So because of our opening debacle, I usually open the show with about 10 songs. And because there was a little mess up and then I stopped it, we had to make up some of the songs towards the end of the show. So I'm going to give out my facts. Then we're going to do Phil's poem, and then we're going to do Hatter's poem. So composer Stephen Stoneham. Like, I don't know why I can't say this. Raconteur. How do I say it?
Consorted?
Oh, my gosh. Stephen Sondheim.
Notoriously.
I just can't say it. Notoriously protective of his stage work, long resisted offers to the film this story. When Tim Burton expressed interest, however, he relented when pleased with Burton's vision for the project and on the condition that the composer would remain casting approval. Burton would only agree to direct with Johnny Depp in the lead. And though
Sondheim
feared Depp's vocals would be too rock-oriented, the composer approved the actor after the vocal audition to approve the casting of Helen Bonham Carter and to combat any rumor of nepotism, as Carter and Burton were romantically involved. The actress sent Sondheim no less than 12 audition tapes of her singing. Very impressed with her vocals, he immediately approved the actress. Also, in his 2010 book about his career as songwriter, Finishing the Hat, he states this is the only adaptation of one of his works for the on-screen for which he approves. I mean, there you go. I mean, how much more do you need? All right, I'm going to go ahead and press play for Phil the Poet. The poem is on the board. Here we go. Mr. Phil.
Oh, no, Mr. Phil. By Phil the Poet, called...
God, what is he doing right now? Shh. I don't press my buttons.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Todd's Friends. I have friends made of steel. See them glisten in the moonlight. They enchant with the gaze. They will taste crimson tonight. I have friends who will do my bidding, protect me from my enemy schemes, cut short the plans with a slash, put an end to their worthless dreams. My friend's smile with dark edges recognizes the glint in my eyes, knowing a client will come. Another ingredient goes into the pies. My dear friends, always by my side, loyal and perfect comrades. One swipe to open the jugular, hear the switch of the blades. My friends, I will bathe you, caress you, comfort you, make you sharp again. Sleep on now. Rest in your velvet bed. My friends understand well my pain. End poem.
Oh, that gives me the shivers. Congratulations, well-earned silver in my contest that I ran. This is brilliant. I love the personification that you put into it, Phil. The way that you made these, the clippers feel like an extension of Todd. I have friends who will do my bidding, protect me from my enemy schemes. And then when you get down to my friend's smile with dark edges, recognizes the glint in my eyes, that bond. And we're just talking about cutters, but yeah, that is, they're an extension of him and they are that important to him. And I just love that, the way that you did that. And then when you go down to the jugular, and then when you start reading, I will bathe you, caress you, comfort you, like the way that you got into the character and the way that you kind of read that was just brilliant. And it was how I would imagine it being read while reading it, because it is like almost like a ballad, like a lament to the clippers. And that direction that you took for the contest was just, and for the poem and for the inspiration, was just absolutely brilliant. I really, really loved this one. I thought it was so cool and creative and really, really well done. And I love the SoundCloud. I didn't have a SoundCloud when I judged, but either way, I just love hearing you read it yourself. I also loved reading it the first time myself. Raconteur, what do you think?
Yeah, this is fantastic. I love what he did with just everything that you said. You touched on the clippers and whatnot, and how that those are his friends. It made me think, only because of, how many movies he's been casting and everything, Edward Scissorhands, that they're a part of him, and they were a part of Sweeney Todd. Mm-hmm. So, it fit wonderfully in the poem. It was beautifully dark and sufficiently bloody.
Excellent comment. And Hatter.
Yes. That was spooky. I was really eerie. how he said it. I felt it. It was it wasn't sorrowful, it was an anxiousness. But it was very well done. It got me about feelings up from me. And the question, when you're judging, should or could a recording of the author have bearing in where it lands in the judging?
I ask that
easily, because I say yes. I say yes. It could.
I say
absolutely
yes.
It could.
It could, because what's his name? He used to do brilliant recordings. Pee-wee.
Pee-wee.
Q-san. Was it Pee-wee? No, it wasn't Pee-wee. It was another guy. Who was it? Who does those excellent... Huh?
Well, it's Joe Green.
Gonzo. That is it. Gonzo. You're right.
Oh, Gonzo.
So
yeah.
We all Gonzo does excellent recordings, and but when you're reading it, it translates differently when you're reading it because you're reading it like a script and not like an actual like poem. But when he's reading, when he's doing the vocals of it and he's putting it together, the production, it's different. It is what it's meant to be. So hearing his SoundCloud does have bearings on the way that I would read it. I mean, I would still think it was brilliant, but his SoundCloud with the way that it's supposed to be theatricized, I think it does. Also, sometimes we're human, and the way that we read stuff, we might miss some things, especially if the writer wants to emphasize certain emotion or certain things. So I think it does. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it.
What makes it hard sometimes, matter is some people don't write with punctuation and they don't capitalize and you know they don't write it as it's intended to be read. So it makes it more difficult for the reader to look at it. You know, they'll put line breaks in different places, or the eye won't follow it right, and you know we'll want to make it rhyme when it doesn't rhyme, and or you know we'll slip on it. You know, it makes it harder. So there's a lot to be said about the formatting of it.
Yeah, the dramatic pauses or the whispering.
I'm a big format. So if I'm judging and I read something and if the format is a mess, that affects my judging. Because I'm like, I don't know when to break. I don't know when to this. That really, really affects my judging. If they're not using punctuation, there are ways you don't have to use punctuation. I didn't use punctuation for years, so I'm not like you have to use proper punctuation. However, if I can't read it with the line breaks and breaths, then you got to clean that up. And I've said that to like people that like I feel comfortable with. I'd be like, listen, this is a great poem, but you got to clean this up because this is a mess. Like, you need to fix these lines because when I'm reading it, I get what you're saying, but that's not what you're putting there. And I say it differently, but I don't ever say it to people that I don't feel comfortable with and that I'm not friendly with. And I privately message them. And I think 9.9 out of 10 times, those people came back at me and said, thank you so much for taking the time for helping me with this. I think I even did it with Sweet Pea once. And she was like, thank you so much. She was like, how do you do that thing that you do when you do this thing? And I was like, I don't think it was me who came to her. I think she came to me. She was like, I want to do this poem, but I want to do it like you do your poem, like when you do that thing. And then she explained to me what thing, and I said, oh, easy. And I just did it, and I read it, and I did all the line breaks in her poem. And she's like, I don't know how you break poems up like that. I said, I don't know. And then she did it on her own and tried it once. And she was like, well, how does this look? Is that? And I'm like, yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. Not that Sweet Pea's poems are a mess, but she wanted something very specific. She wanted a specific style that I tend to do. And so she was asking, but there are some poems in my contest that I'm like, this is such a good poem. Can you please just clean it up before I judge? Because I want to put you in the top three, but it's just a mess. You know? And they either take the advice or they don't, you know? So, I mean, I never mean it from a bad place. So, and I don't think anybody's ever taken it from a bad place for me. So, anyway, Hatter, we're in overtime, but I want you to read your poem. So go ahead.
Okay. Because the worst things. The quote I think was, to lie a little is not possible. He who lies, lies the whole lie. It goes like this. If thoughts were real and not just a thought, why do you steal when it's something I bought? Living with things that will never bring those that seek to smile. Deceit will breed, then grow to a weed, slowly becoming your style. Lie to the wind, that's where it begins, thinking it will give, give, thinking it gives you wealth. How can this be if the worst things are free? Because the worst thing is to lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I agree with this, Hatter. First of all, brilliant way to take the prompt. I love the quote that you picked and how you wrote it, and it has this beautiful message in it. And I think it's true. A little lie is not possible. I tend to be kinder in the way that I present things, but I think a lie is a lie. And so it's a lie of omission. If you're leading people to believe something that's not true by not saying anything, then you're lying. Even though you're not saying anything, you're like, oh, well, I won't say anything. I'll just let them believe what they want. No, no, that's a lie. So I agree. I agree with this wholeheartedly. And I love how you bring it into, you know, because the worst thing is to lie to self. And there's some people that lie to themselves so much and lie to other people so much that they believe their lies. And that they, in that, you know, they say that if you tell yourself something enough, you start to believe it. And that's why... That's why words of affirmation are such a big thing now. When they're telling you, when your kids are young and free to tell yourself, I am brave, I am kind. Because if you tell yourself something enough, your brain will believe it. And that's the sad truth about lies as well. Excellent piece. Raconteur, what do you think?
I mean, you know, yeah, there's not much more that could be said when you're talking about that. And yet that, you know, the idea that there's no such thing as a little white lie, you know, that's not a little extreme, but, you know, I understand the idea behind it. You know, things are black and white, and, you know, it's a lie. So, you know, the impact of it, the gravity of it, you know, who's to decide that, you know, well, it's a little lie, but, you know, a little lie is still a lie. So, yeah. Guilty.
Oh, I got the one comment that we would want to maybe consider, not so much the truth. That is, does this make my butt look big? Now, be careful. Oh, if you ever hear that, be careful what you say next.
Well, when you change the subject.
Okay. I love your big butt. All right. Thank you, Raconteur, Deborah Lee, Hatter, Phil the Poet, Sweet Pea, and thank you also, and AP, and Titus, thank you so much. I will play your poem tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. And thank you guys so much. I still have some songs, and we're in overtime, so I'm going to go ahead and press this because I don't want to go too much into overtime.
What are we listening to? What are we listening to?
It's
that?
Sweeney Todd. You dropped for the show.
I thought Sweeney Todd was a poet. Oh, it's a character.
Sweeney Todd is a musical. It's Musical March, Hatter.
I did.
I love
it. I swear, I've never heard that. I've heard the name, but I didn't know what it was. Okay, I'm sorry. All right,
focus for 1 minute. No, don't shut up. Listen, focus. For the month of March, I did all musicals, okay? So all my shows were musicals, right? I'm going to do Sound the Music, Sweeney Todd, Les Miserables. If you haven't seen Sweeney Todd 2007 with Johnny Depp, you need to go watch it right now. That's what you need to do. It's very, very good.
Professor Snape.
Yep, Alan Rickman. All right. I'm going to go ahead and press play, and we're going to start off with No Pies, Worst Pies in London. We're going to backtrack just a little bit. It's still wrong. I don't think this is right. I'm not going to play that because it's still wrong. There it is. That's right. Okay. Here we go. Thank you guys so much.
The customer. Why would you rush? Would you hurry? You gave me such a fright. I thought you was the ghost of a minute. Can't you sit? For weeks. Did you come in for a pie? Don't forgive me if me had a little fight.
What was that?
But you think we had the pie? From the way that people keep avoiding.
No, you don't.
Ever know the trial? But there's no one comes in even to inhale. Right, you are, so would you like a drop of ale? Mind you, I can hardly blind them. These are probably the worst pies in London. I know what it takes to take them.
I should know, I may ken, but good none, the worst fires in London. Not even that polite, the worst fires in London. If you daddy take a bite, if that jump's disgusting, you have to concede it. It's nothing but frosting, you drink it, you need it. The worst vibe in London. And I wonder with the price of mint, what it is, when you get it. Never thought I'd live to see the day. Many think it was a treat, finding poor animals what are dying in the street. Mrs. Mooney has a pie shop, does her business, but I noticed something weird. Lately all her neighbours have to disappear. Have to hand it to her, what a cool enterprise. Popping pussies into pies, wasn't doing my shop. Just the thought of it's enough to make you sick. And I'm telling you, them pussycat is quick. No denying times is hard, so even harder than the worst part in London. Only Lord, and nothing more is such a revolting or greasy and gritty. It looks like it's molting and tastes like, well, pity I wasn't alone. With limited wings and the worst part in times is hard, times is hard.
Oh, Mr. Todd, I'm so happy I could eat you up, I really could. You know what I'd like to do, Mr. Todd. What a dream, if the business stays as good, where I'd really like to go in a year or so. Don't you wanna know?
Of course.
Do you really want to know?
Yes, I do.
By the sea, Mr. Todd, that's the life I covet. By the sea, Mr. Todd, oh, I know you'd love it. You and me, Mr. T, we could be alone in a house where we'd almost own. Down by the sea,
anything you say,
wouldn't that be smashing? Think how snug it'll be underneath our flannel when it's just you and me and the English Channel. In our cosy retreat, kettle neat and tidy, we'll have jams over every Friday. By the sea, don't you love the weather? By the sea, we'll grow old together. By the sea, side by the beautiful sea. It'll be so quiet, then it'll come by it, except a seagull. Oh, oh, we shouldn't try it until it's legal for two. But a seaside wedding could be devised, me rumble bedding legitimised. Me eyelids a flutter, all turn into butter, the moment I mutter, I do. Down by the sea, married nice and proper. By the sea, bring along your chopper. Through the seaside there, for the beautiful sea.
Seems like the good Lord sent you for me.
Oh, love, I felt quite the same way.
Listen to me, please. You know there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Say, if there was someone around. Someone bad. Only you didn't know it.
What is this? What are you talking about?
Nothing's gonna harm you. Not while I'm around. Nothing's gonna harm you. No, sir. Not while I'm around. Demons are prowling everywhere nowadays. I'll send them howling, I don't care, I got ways. No one's gonna hurt you, no one's gonna. ain't dumb. I can do it, put me to it, show me something I can overcome. Not to worry. Being close and being clever, ain't life being true? I don't need to, I will never hide a thing from you. Like so.
Now, Toby dear, we had enough of this foolish chatter. Yes. How about I'll give you a nice, shiny new penny.
In your granny's purse.
No, he's not. Something must have taken me from the birth place.
That proves it. We've got to go, Mum. We've got to find the beetle and get the lawyer.
In less than half an hour. Don't worry. No one will recognize you. You're safe now.
Safe? So we run away and then all our dreams come true?
I hope so.
I've never had dreams. Only nightmares.
Joanna, when we're free of this place, all the ghosts will go away.
No, Anthony.
I'll be right back to you. Half an hour and we'll be free.
Beedle, 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 be are you doing here?
Stephen, it is the stink of evil from below. From her. She's the devil's wife. Beware of her, sir. She was no petting in her heart. Hey, don't I know you, mister?
Mr. Tom?
Below, Your Honor. With my neighbor. Thank heavens, a sailor did not molest her. Thank heavens, too, she has seen the error of her ways.
She has?
Oh, yes. Your lesson was well learned. She speaks only of you, longing for forgiveness.
Then she shall have it. She'll be here soon. Excellent, my friend.
How about a shave? Sit, sir. Sit. Suppose the face of a barber, the face of a prisoner, a dog, is obviously that no one. Benjamin Barker.
Benjamin Barker!
Should have been in hospital wound up in bed, looming said, poor thing. Better you should think she was dead, yet I like her, I love you. I despise her like she was, I love you. But that is how why you like me.
Mrs. Lovett, you're a bloody wonder, eminently practical and yet appropriate as always. As you've said repeatedly, there's little point in dwelling on the past. Now
see,
come
minute.
Here,
everything
my love.
Everything I did, I swear to, was only for the best.
Not a thing to fear, my love. What's dead is dead. The history of the world, my pet.
Oh, Mr. Todd, leave it to me.
Please learn forgiveness and try to forget.
But Mr. Todd will become
psychotic,
but Mr. Todd
will
have no one knows.
And life is for the alive, my dear. So let's keep living it.
Just keep living it.
Really living it. and she was beautiful. A foolish barber and his wife, she was his reason.